Our guest this hour is Pam Colleen. She is an expert on addictions, something that the majority of the population has, whether they know it or not. She is the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, and is the co-author with Dr. Joseph Mercola of The Great Bird Flu Hoax. She's studied nutrition and natural health for over 20 years. Her interest is in nutrition and natural health stems from overcoming a lengthy battle with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivities. Welcome to the program, Pam.
Hi, Deanna. It's nice to be back.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice and to talk with you again. Let me give you your website. You have three. PamColleen.com, addiction, thehiddenepidemic.net.
Actually, that one is down now. I don't really use it anymore, but it's PamColleen.com is just fine. Yeah.
Okay, and you can go off from that to get your book, because you have
Absolutely,
your book right there.
Yes.
All righty. Well, this is a very good compliment to our first guest. Our first guest today was Donna Schwenk, and she was talking about kefir and kombucha and the kinds of things that you also use in what you do.
That's right. The lacto-fermented foods are incredible for supporting the immune system. And as you know, Deanna, about 80% or so of the immune system is the actual lining of the gut. And so with so many people every year worried about, you know, developing the flu or other infections, I think it's very important for people to know what medicine we can use as food to help support this very precious body, part of the body, the lining of the gut. So what we want to do is we want to make sure we're taking in these probiotic-rich foods that help bring the friendly bacteria into our gut to help ward off any opportunistic organisms that may make us sick.
Right. And so they do act as an antibiotic.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, there are natural, you know, germ fighters, essentially. So when you have essentially what they say is that, you know, 80% of the organisms growing in your GI tract should be of a friendly nature. And then 20% not so friendly. And that's to make sure that everything is at bay, that everything is working properly. So we are going to have things like parasites. We are going to have unfriendly organisms in general growing in our gut, but they're there for a reason to make sure that our immune system is turned on. But what we don't want is we don't want these organisms to overgrow in our gut, and we don't want outside invaders to move in and invade and take over the space of the friendly organisms. So what helps keep things in check, hopefully, is going to be taking in enough of these probiotic-rich foods. And a lot of people, Deanna, take probiotic supplements, but there's no guarantee that they're going to actually nest inside of your gut. So you want to provide your body with the nesting material so that these probiotics aren't just wasted money.
Right, and there's a lot of them on the market, and how do we know if something is working or not? And when you're talking about probiotics, you're talking about drinking kefir and eating other things that are probiotic rich, not necessarily taking the pills.
That's right. A lot of my clients may not have the money to buy, you know, extra supplementation, so they may not have the money to buy probiotics. And that's fine, because I would really like for people to rely on the probiotic-rich foods anyway, because that's what our ancestors did, right? Secondarily, you know, some studies have been done on some of the probiotic supplements on the market. And I'm not saying that they're not – I'm not smearing them all with the same – painting them all with the same brush, so to speak. There are some really good probiotics on the market. That's for sure. But there are some that are not so good on the market, and some people aren't necessarily – discerning in terms of the quality that they're buying.
Okay. All righty. Let's talk about this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com. That's K-I-L-L-E-E-N, pamcolleen.com. And you were talking about probiotics. And of course, we know that kefir is a probiotic. We know that that yogurt is a probiotic or has probiotic properties, but not quite so much. And you were talking about supplements, probiotic supplements, and that there are some out there that are kind of overhyped and maybe a little bit expensive when people could be doing eating or drinking something else that would be just as effective or more effective.
It's a really difficult question to answer in terms of the quality of the probiotic supplements, because some of them are very good and do have viable strains and do adhere and thrive in the gut, and some are a little bit on the questionable side. So every consumer needs to go out and do their own research to see whether or not they're buying a high-quality probiotic. And one of the things I've always been very skeptical of course, is that when you take a probiotic in, you know, you swallow it in your mouth, it goes down into your stomach and then to the small intestine, and you hope that it, you know, can thrive in your gut ecology. But there's no guarantee that by the time you're eliminating, and if you were to test your feces, for example, can you actually see evidence that the probiotic's doing anything? And that kind of research is very difficult to do, of course. It is being done, but not every company is necessarily adhering to that kind of research. So that's the questionable thing. And then with everybody having such different gut ecologies, that too will have a bearing on whether or not the the probiotic strain will actually survive into the small intestine and into the large intestine and so on. So still relative to the individual as well. So I think it's just more cost effective to try and emphasize food as much as possible, because with food you have to eat anyway. And if it happens to be medicinal food, you're getting a double bang for your buck, right? So you're getting, in if you're eating yogurt or kefir or sauerkraut, hopefully it's raw sauerkraut, and then you're getting in a probiotic-rich food, which will hopefully survive down through your intestinal tract and do its job, but you're also going to get a lot of other health benefits from eating these probiotic-rich foods. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Deanna.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, good, good. And, yeah, it's a complicated question. You know, I see people buying a lot of probiotics and they're not necessarily eating probiotic-rich foods, you see, and so I wonder if they have the right nesting material for the probiotics to actually survive. So that's yet, you know, another angle to look at.
Sure. Now, a lot of what happens to people in general, especially if they go to allopathic doctors, is that they are usually given a script that involves antibiotics, which is something that, you know, I know people who get a cold and they run to the doctor to get an antibiotic. And this is the worst possible thing that you can do to your intestinal tract, to your immune system, because doesn't it kill all of the good bacteria in your gut?
Well, it doesn't differentiate. So when you take an antibiotic, it'll go in and kill, right? It's called antibiotic because it's anti-life, right? Mm-hmm. Probiotic is pro-life. So you take an antibiotic, it goes in and doesn't differentiate between the good and the bad organisms. So, yes, it can wipe out some of your friendly bacteria, which is not a good idea. So to compensate, if you do take an antibiotic, and let's not forget that antibiotics can indeed save lives, so we can't really dismiss them entirely, right? They do have damaging effects. There's no question about that. But on the other side, I don't want to discourage anybody from taking an antibiotic if indeed it's something that could actually be a life-saving measure. So some people are going to find times in their life where they may need an antibiotic, and I don't want to say anything to stop them from taking the antibiotic, because if they do take an antibiotic, it saves their life. That's fabulous. But at the same time, what they have to do is do something to compensate for the fact that the antibiotic has done something negative to their immune system. So that's when they probably have to be even that much more aggressive, Deanna, in terms of taking things and doing eating foods that will help restore their gut ecology. And that means, you know, doing a very, you know, daily regimen, which people should be doing anyway, of taking these probiotic-rich foods, and possibly do that much more research to find, you know, viable strains and healthy strains of bacteria that can and do survive down the GI tract. You know, there are some brands, I don't want to say any brands because I don't know what could be released tomorrow. There may be a probiotic brand that comes out tomorrow that I don't know about that is going to be, you know, fabulous and help a lot of people. There's a lot of, all I can say is that there are a lot of good brands out there. There's a lot of brands that also have really good research to back up the claims that they're making. And I really do encourage consumers to just do some digging to find these brands so that they're comfortable with the purchases that they're making.
Okay. The probiotic foods would include sauerkraut, kombucha, kefir. What else?
Okay, so there'd be like raw sauerkraut, there'd be things like pickles, and things like kimchi and so on. But there's a gray area with pickles sometimes. People want to have the vinegar-based pickles, or they can have the lacto-fermented pickles. And I sit on the fence between the two because I enjoy vinegar, and vinegar is acidifying to my gut, which is what I want. But some people don't really feel comfortable eating vinegar potentially, although I do think it's a very medicinal food. But I think that really between the two, where you're going to get that much more benefit is from the lacto-fermented pickles. Donna probably mentioned this in your last conversation, is that the lacto-fermented pickles are probably going to be a better choice for more people because they are going to be more probiotic rich. Some people feel the vinegar is just too potent for their guts sometimes. But I actually go between the two myself. But my digestion, I've done a lot to improve my digestion over the years. So I don't feel uncomfortable when I eat vinegar. If anything, I feel the vinegar is very beneficial for my digestion. And some people, I tell my clients anyway, that if they can tolerate the vinegar, apple cider vinegar or vinegared pickles, that's fine. But some people have to start off slowly with vinegar. I don't know if you've noticed that in your circles, Deanna, that some people do feel uncomfortable with the vinegar, but I do try and get them to start off with low doses potentially and then increase accordingly, because I do see the benefit of the vinegar as well. And that's the thing, is that these foods are essentially good for retraining the gut to be acidic. So they can cause discomfort. And in that case, people do need to start off slowly with them and just, you know, gauge it accordingly. So some of my clients only eat, for example, say they may only handle 2 tablespoons of sauerkraut per meal. And at that, they have to build that dosage up gradually. I don't know if Donna mentioned something around that in your last conversation, but that's certainly something I noticed.
Yes, we didn't talk about vinegar, and we didn't talk necessarily about pickles, although there is a very good brand of pickles that you can get. They also make sauerkraut if you don't make your own. And it's very good. It's lacto-fermented.
Is that the Bubbies? Is that the Bubbies that you
yes,
have?
Yes, I love Bubbies. Oh, mm-hmm. Love Bubbies.
Excellent, yeah. And in today's fast new world, it's convenient. Let's face it, it's convenient to find these foods on the shelf. If people can make it, I will tell you, don't get discouraged. If people make raw sauerkraut and they don't turn out, if your batch doesn't turn out, please don't be discouraged. I see this happen time and time again where people make a batch of raw sauerkraut. It doesn't necessarily turn out. Then they try it again and perhaps a third time, and then they get it right.
Right. Now, do you use I use Carter's, it's a vegetable start, and then salt, and then distilled water.
There's different ways to make the sauerkraut. I actually am fortunate, I've made it in the past, but I'm fortunate because my farmer actually makes my sauerkraut for me.
But really?
I'm really spoiled. I'm really, really spoiled. But if you look at different methods. Let's just talk about two of the methods. And nothing is etched in stone here, because there's, I'm sure, a dozen different ways to make sauerkraut that, you know, make ways that I'm not even familiar with. So I've seen, for example, demonstrations by Sandor Katz, and he's written a couple of books on fermented foods. And in his demonstration, and this is what I've done, is you basically add the salt, yes, to the cabbage and allow the water to release. So, again, depending on people's circumstances, you may or may not have to add water, Deanna. So the water can actually naturally come out of the cabbage.
Oh, right.
And that's the purpose of adding the actual salt, is to pull out the water. So depending on how much water comes out of your cabbage, you may or may not need to add water. But what Sandor does is he actually takes a plate. If you have an old red wing crock, an antique crock, and you can buy them for relatively cheap at the antique stores, and you know they're usually very inexpensive when they don't come with a lid, because when the lid breaks, of course, this devalues the entire crock. So when you buy the crock without the lid, that's fine, and it should be reasonable price. But what you do in that crock is you put the cabbage and the salt in the crock, and then you put a plate on top of the actual cabbage, and the plate should just barely, fit within the circumference of the actual crock. And then on top of the plate, you put a large jar of water, and you seal it, of course. And then that's acting as a weight on top of the cabbage. So as it's sitting there fermenting, the water should be coming out and seeping out gradually. And it's a more passive way of making the sauerkraut. Now, things can get very, very technical, of course, because depending on where you put that sauerkraut in your house, that's going to influence how long it takes before the cabbage is actually properly fermented. And if it's too warm, of course, the fermentation may not be as optimal as you would like. So these are variables that you have to really go online, and I would highly recommend that you do some digging, because the temperature is a factor as well.
Okay, that's important to know. All righty, we will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over?
Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest this hour is Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com. And you were talking earlier about vinegar. And what are some of the health benefits of vinegar?
One of the things vinegar will do is help to thin your bile. And bile is very, very important in terms of your ability to digest animal fat, those wonderful long-chain fatty acids that you get from things like butter and red meat. So some people, what they do is they take about a half a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, for example, before they eat in preparation for their digestion. And that's a fantastic strategy to use, especially when people have been on a low-fat diet, any kind of low-fat diet, and there's, you know, dozens of different low-fat diets out there. So depending on what you've done in the past in terms of reducing or actually even stopping altogether your consumption of animal fat, when you start eating your traditional foods diet, your ancestral diet, and you start eating things like butter and fatty red meat and so on, you may need to be very, very conscientious, that much more conscientious than other people, in terms of taking some apple cider vinegar to allow the thinning of your bile so that it can descend through your bile duct system and go into the small intestine where it will help, where the bile will help assimilate the long-chain fatty acids. So that's one of the reasons why I do recommend vinegar, but as I said earlier, some people do have to start off with small doses sometimes because it can feel uncomfortable in certain individuals. But it's a very important, I look at it as a very medicinal food, very, very healing food. But if your listeners are saying, oh, but I thought vinegar was a bad thing, I thought raw sauerkraut was a bad thing, My doctor told me not to eat it. My naturopath told me not to eat these
foods. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that's, I'll tell you the history behind that, Deanna, because this goes back into the 1970s and the 1980s at the popular rise of the anti-candida diet. So two doctors, Doctors Truss and Dr. Crook, who popularized the anti-candida diet. Of course, candida is yeast. And the theory is when you eat things like vinegar or even sauerkraut, that this is somehow going to feed the yeast in your gut and exacerbate your quote-unquote candida problem. Now, the problem actually came, this misinformation that we have around these foods came from the fact that these doctors essentially got tired of listening to women coming in and complaining about being bloated after eating things like raw sauerkraut, pickles, and you know, vinegar and so on. So the doctors, because they got tired of listening to these women complaining, they just said, stop eating these foods. But the bloating that was happening wasn't necessarily a bad sign, you see. It was the sign that there was a war going on in their gut, and the friendly organisms were trying to overpower the bad. And so when...
Oh, is that... that's what causes bloating?
It's one of the reasons for it, sure. And you'll see this very commonly as people start reintroducing these traditional foods in their diet. They will complain of being bloated, but I don't view it as a bad thing. I think that a lot of that is just, you know, the gut ecology going into battle, you know, that the good and the bad are in battle with each other. And not only can people experience bloating, they can experience, you know, diarrhea, gas, all sorts of, all sorts of digestive distress while they're trying to normalize their gut ecology. So, you know, and I hear about it all the time, people complaining about, you know, their gut ecology, their digestive distress, and it is. It's very uncomfortable. I'm not saying it's their imagination. I'm saying it's a very real problem. But something's got to give in terms of what has to happen to regulate the gut ecology. And to do this is not an easy task. It can take months, if not years, to normalize the gut ecology. And I do even more digging when I work with my clients because I'm looking at why the gut ecology has gone awry in the first place. And a lot of it has to do with adrenal function and mineral imbalances, and that opens up a whole can of worms in terms of the degree of difficulty in understanding the work that I do. It's very difficult to understand, you know, when I start mentioning, you know, the zinc issue, for example, and when people are deficient in zinc and how that will influence hydrochloric acid in the stomach and so on and so forth. I mean, if you have time, we can talk about it, Deanna. It just becomes very, very complicated.
Right. I think HC1, the hydrochloric acid, that is absolutely essential, and a lot of people don't have enough of it.
That's right, and that's the crux of it all. See, in order to produce hydrochloric acid, and I'm oversimplifying something very complicated here, but in order to produce enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach, right, the adrenal glands essentially need to be strong. And when the adrenal glands are weak, the digestion is going to be weak. And one of the components of digestion that will weaken is going to be the production of hydrochloric acid. And as we age, our production of hydrochloric acid will go down indeed, but this is happening too much and this is happening prematurely in society today. We're going to see children who are not producing enough hydrochloric acid. And the joke that Mother Nature is playing on us is that we do not get enough symptoms when we are underproducing hydrochloric acid in our stomach. And the symptoms that we do get, Deanna, we tend to laugh at or ignore, right? That would be bloating, gas, diarrhea, whatever. A lot of these symptoms have been normalized, but in a nutshell, they're a reflection of the fact that we're not producing enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach. And so what happens is when you're not producing enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach, this is not going to allow you to break down your protein, your complete protein properly. And then on top of that, when your stomach contents exit your stomach and go into the small intestine, when the stomach contents come out, they're supposed to be very acidic. And when they're not acidic, then this will actually slow down the response of bile that is supposed to come on the scene to neutralize the acidity of the stomach contents.
Okay. Well, we need to go to a break. I'm sorry to cut you off. This is so interesting. But we do need to take a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury, customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff, and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
And our guest today is Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com. And Pam, you were talking about hydrochloric acid and the fact that so many people are not digesting their food. And why is that?
Okay, let me,
I know you
let
mentioned
me,
age.
But, no, this is a really good point. I'm glad we're talking about this. And I'll try and, you know, distill it down to make it real simple to understand because I know it's not easy. But essentially, when the stomach contents are as acidic as they should be, and keep in mind that the stomach contents, called chyme or chyme, however you'd like to pronounce it, is supposed to be very acidic when it comes down into the small intestine. And so because, you know, we don't get enough symptoms to tell us that this is happening or not happening, you know, food goes down into our small intestine and large intestine and is really not as well digested as it should be. So it causes us a lot of damage in many respects, not just because things are putrefying rather than fermenting in our gut. And you can smell that, you know, in your gas and in your feces, you know. You can smell the putrefaction, and that's not what it's, your BMs are supposed to smell like. Your BMs actually are supposed to have more of a sweet odor, believe it or not.
So, really?
So when things come out and they're very smelly, this is a red flag. But unfortunately, like I said earlier, we've normalized this symptom and even laugh about it, you know. But really, when you have good gut function, then the odor should not be foul. And so we have to look to the root, you know, what's happening in the initial stages of a digestion to see what is going wrong early on in digestion to cause for putrefaction to occur versus, you know, healthy fermentation. So at any rate, when the stomach is acidic enough, then things should flow normally. But when the stomach is, you know, when the stomach contents come out and they're not acidic enough, another thing happens where the bile, it doesn't show up on the scene as it should, as much as it should anyway, to help you digest those long-chain fatty acids. So then what ends up happening is at this juncture where the stomach contents come out and go into the small intestine, the upper part of the small intestine is called the duodenum. And that part of the intestine, if things are working properly, is where you should be absorbing these wonderful long-chain fatty acids that are going to help fuel things like your brain and your adrenal glands. That's also where you're going to absorb the fat-soluble vitamins like A and D. And that these nutrients are very crucial for your nervous system, among many other things. But it's also a juncture where you're going to absorb some crucial minerals as well. So when you know the breakdown has occurred, so when people aren't producing enough hydrochloric acid, when stomach contents come out and they're not acidic enough, this slows down the release of bile, which is alkaline and is supposed to show up on the scene to neutralize the acidity of the stomach contents. And so when there's a breakdown with this transaction at this juncture in your intestines, this juncture what I mean by that, where the small intestine meets with the large intestine at the duodenum, then you're going to have all sorts of, you know, problems with digestive distress and even malabsorption problems. So it's very important to solve this problem from the get-go. And taking, you know, your lacto-fermented foods that we've been talking about is a good stopgap measure to try and retrain the gut at least to be acidic. And then I go deeper because I look at biochemistry and why the stomach acid isn't being produced in the first place. And that has a lot to do with things like copper toxicity and copper pushing down zinc, and it gets complicated, Deanna. I don't know if I want to get into it, but these foods, I can't emphasize enough how important these foods are to help assist with digestion and absorption, even if somebody has weak adrenal glands.
Right. Now, in the first hour, somebody brought up the topic of colloidal silver. What are your views on that?
Well, colloidal silver, unfortunately, what it will do with long-term use is it will displace other minerals in the body and wreak havoc on your biochemistry. So I do not recommend a long-term use of things like colloidal silver. I do, though, think it's a good idea to have a colloidal silver machine in your house or have stored colloidal silver there for emergencies, but I just don't think it's wise to take it for more than 2 weeks at a time.
Okay, because it is acts as an antibiotic?
Yes, I mean, it's an antimicrobial. It's something that we've known for years, for centuries, that it is an antimicrobial. If you think back to the silver goblets, for example, and how they were, the edge of the goblet always had some silver on it. So when you're sipping on a glass of water and the silver was there to help act as an antimicrobial. If you think about the cowboys and their canteens and the water canteen, they had a silver dollar or something in there to help neutralize the germs in the water. So for centuries we've known that silver is an antimicrobial, but so too are other metals that we're exposed to. And the trick is you just don't want to be overexposed to these metals because they can displace other healthy minerals in your body and throw your biochemistry out of balance.
Okay. So the key thing
that I think people, one of the important points to make here is that I think that these lacto-fermented foods not just are, you know, ways that you can have medicine within your own home, but I think it's a fabulous way to bring your children in to start learning about traditional foods, because these are fun experiments, Deanna, for your children to partake in, aren't they? I mean, I just think that they're just so much fun for children, you know, to make your own sauerkraut, to make your own pickles, and watch it happen right on your kitchen counter. And it gets them to be more in touch with these very medicinal and very healing foods.
Right, and well, they're just healthy. Mm-hmm. I make sauerkraut and kombucha all the time. I've never made kefir, and I think after today, I think I'm going to make some kefir.
Well, actually, kefir, between yogurt and kefir, my favorite for making it at home is kefir. It's just, I find it easier to make. With yogurt requires a little cooking, you know, so there is an extra step involved. So I like kefir because you just add the culture or the kefir grains and sit it on your counter and you're good to go in a few days.
Right. Now, I've made yogurt before. I used to make it all the time when my kids were little. And I used to make bread and all kinds of things. I'm going to try kefir.
Good. Yeah. And it's got the champagne effect, as I don't know if you talked about that, but with the champagne effect, the bubbling is nothing to panic over. It's something that is a good sign. That's very part and parcel to kefir in and of itself. If you buy kefir in the store, very commonly you see it has a little bubble on the top, or it might pop when you open it like a bottle of champagne. And, again, just rest assured that that is a normal effect from making the kefir. Not so much the yogurt, but with kefir.
Right. I buy it. I drink it every day, but I've never made it. So I think I'll start making it.
Well, did Donna suggest to you any sources for kefir grains or kefir culture? Because I know that they're widely available online if people do a search for them.
Right. She's got some links on her website. I also buy some things from Savvy. S-A-V-V-Y,
okay.
Which is a good source, and I think they probably have them. But Donna's links are very good. She's got a lot of links there, and yeah.
And this ties in, of course, to a way bigger picture, doesn't it, Deanna? Because we're talking about all the different components of a healthy diet. So I hate to just talk about fermented foods without talking about the importance of all of the observations of Dr. Weston A. Price in his travels back in the 1930s.
Exactly.
Because there are a good dozen, observations that he made, about a dozen characteristics threaded through healthy societies. So one of his observations involved in these healthy cultures was this commonality around making lacto-fermented foods. But there are, keep in mind, a dozen observations he made in these healthy cultures. And one of the other observations he made involved this importance of getting the fat-soluble vitamins in the diet. And yes, indeed, depending on where you're from, you know, the intake of animal fat did indeed vary, but if I can just generally speak here and say that if you are from European descent, that people of European descent should be getting about 70% of their calories from animal fat. And that's something, of course, that people can't wrap their brain around, can they? I mean, they just have trouble visualizing how much fat that can represent simply because of this wrongful demonization of animal fat that we've seen embedded in society now for so many decades.
Oh, exactly. And don't we have a lot of very ill health when people went from eating meat to eating wheat, which isn't the same kind of wheat that they had thousands of years ago, and people cannot digest it. So gluten has become a very large problem.
Yeah, we can talk some more about that. Are we up for a break here?
No, we've just got about 7 minutes.
I heard some music in the background, but you couldn't have said it better at all. I mean, it's the displacement of meat that started occurring in the early 1800s, especially. I mean, I can go back in history, Deanna, at the birth of agriculture. But if we just look at more of our recent history, I just want to point out that, you know, the invention of the steel mill in the early 1800s, this is, you know, in and around the time of the Industrial Revolution, of course. You know, when we invented the steel mill and centralized the flour industry, that's when we start to see, you know, more wheat-based products on the marketplace. And the wheat-based products like, you know, biscuits and crackers and cookies, of course, started to displace more animal foods in our diet. And then, of course, this has been snowballing for decades now, where we've been displacing animal foods and replacing them with more plant-based foods. And that's really what has led to a lot of our physical and mental health problems today. In fact, you know, I remember reading a historic reference saying that in the early 1800s is when you start to see a rise of things like schizophrenia. And, of course, when you work with people who have schizophrenia, and, of course, they're very copper toxic, but also you'll notice that they tend to be very addicted to wheat. which can have very drug-like effects on the brain. So, and like you mentioned, Deanna, it's not the same wheat of the past either. So now we have a double whammy, right? So we have over-consumed wheat in our diet, but also we're eating a wheat that has been so mutated by man that is simply not recognizable in terms of its history. So it's very hard on our digestive tract. But there's a third element too, and that is that if we are going to eat grains of any kind, they really should be properly prepared. In essence, they should be pre-digested before we consume them. And that's why we've had, in so many different cultures around the world, Deanna, we've seen different sourdough breads in their diet.
All right. Absolutely. I used to make sourdough bread all the time. Okay, we have a couple of questions. One caller wants to know, what about those people without a gallbladder? Because a lot of people have had their gallbladders removed.
No, it's a great question. And it really shouldn't impede them for the rest of their lives. The trouble is, where I see where the gallbladder has been removed, is people haven't been taught why the gallstones were forming in the first place and what to do to compensate for the fact that they don't have a gallbladder. Because a gallbladder is essentially just a sac. Right, so you should still be producing bile, and it should still be going into the small intestine. But the trouble is when the doctors go in and take out the gallbladder, they're not necessarily taking into account where all the gallstones could be hiding, because the bile duct system is quite expansive. So it's not just going to be in the gallbladder, it's going to be throughout the liver and extends to the pancreas. So gallstones can be stuck anywhere in that system and prevent bile from descending into the small intestine to do its job. So even without a gallbladder, and if people are brave enough, and if they have guidance, I don't recommend you do this without some help, in case you do provoke some sort of attack, some sort of GI distress or pain. But a gallbladder flush is something that you can consider and start to blast out or chisel down anyway some of the gallstones that can be formed in the bile duct system. And you still need to take very good care of your liver and I know the gallbladder isn't there, but you still need to take really good care of your liver, because that's what's helping, that's what's responsible in terms of the production of the bile. So you have to do things to support the liver. And I'm a big fan of things like coffee enemas to help stimulate bile production. So liver gallbladder flushes, coffee enemas, and even things like, one of the tremendous things for the liver, of course, is to drink things like beet kvass, Deanna. Beet kvass is fantastic for the liver and anything that
what
supports
is that?
The liver. It's a fermented food. I Donna may not have had time to talk about it, but it's a really fantastic food for supporting the liver and the gallbladder. Whether
beets?
Or not somebody has a gallbladder is inconsequential. You still want to eat foods like beets. Beets are very, very good for the liver, which in turn would help support bile production, of course. So if you can make your own lacto-fermented beet kvass, and if you just Google that term in, your beet kvass, K-V-A-S-S, you will find all sorts of recipes on how to make a beet kvass. And what people do is they just sip on maybe 4 ounces of beet kvass at, say, dinner or lunch, even breakfast, and it's extremely medicinal, and it will really, really help liver function. So,
alrighty. I have made cultured beets. In fact, I have some in the refrigerator. And I also use, started using beetroot powder.
Okay. Well, a more practical way, I think, a less expensive way would be to make it yourself.
Yeah.
And the other thing with people who don't have gallbladders, by the way, is they probably do need to take something like an ox bile, just in case.
Okay.
So an ox bile supplement is usually not very expensive, so you can take ox bile. But these are things, if you don't have a gallbladder, you really need to stay on top of all of these things. And if you do have a gallbladder, you still need to do these things too, because you want to prevent the stones. So keep in mind that if you've ever been on a low-fat diet, in order to produce bile, you also need to have enough dietary cholesterol in your diet. Dietary cholesterol is essential for the formation of bile as well. So if you've ever been on a low-fat diet, that makes the bile very thick and sluggish, like toothpaste. And that's what's going to make it more prone to stoning, you see. Mm-hmm. So it can take some time to really get the digestion turned back on again after it's essentially been put to sleep from eating a low-fat diet. So when you're going back onto your ancestral diet, it can take time to get the body adjusted. I'll just give you one example of a friend of mine who came to my my nutrition classes. I teach the full series of Weston A. Price. So she came to my nutrition classes starting in January of this year. Now, her focus has been on protein. So she hasn't integrated a lot of animal fat in her diet. And when she started understanding the importance of animal fat in January, she started integrating. And I'll tell you after the break what happened to her.
All righty. We'll be right back. And we also have another question. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural organic and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today, or this hour, has been Pam Colleen. Her website is PamColleen.com. And you were going to tell us about this student that you had. Let me just ask you one question from the chat room. What would you suggest a person start with if you have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and lupus? That's quite a combination.
You've got to start eating more butter in your diet, and you've got to integrate, you have to take some cod liver oil. Those are the two of the best fuels, bar none, to support your adrenal glands. But you have to eat 3 square meals a day, so you have to eat animal fat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so your meals are spread out like our ancestors used to do. I would highly recommend also that you go to my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com, and you read my frequently asked questions page. Because I think where the adrenals are concerned, a lot of people are out taking remedies for the adrenal glands, and they overlook the fact that really the animal fat is the best way to fuel the adrenal glands in the first place. That's why so many of us are sick in the first place, is because we cut back on our consumption of animal fat. So when we hit the low-fat lie in the 70s, and that's when it hit its hiatus, and that's when I fell victim to the low-fat lie, it was the 1980s when you start to see the first wave of people collapsing with things like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So to reverse this problem, we do have to reintegrate copious quantities of animal fat in our diet, which is what our ancestors did. Our ancestors got 70% of their calories from animal fat. But the trouble when people have chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia is their digestion is so weak that they have to integrate these foods in gradually. And I was just talking about one of my students who started integrating animal fat in her diet in January, and she did it slowly, which was wise. And I don't know if she did the coffee enemas or not. I've never asked her that. She's just a student of mine. She's not a client. But at any rate, I did a series of digestion classes in April. So 4 months later, she came to my digestion classes and reported to the class that by April she was fine by that point in time integrating lots of animal fat in her diet. So she just took her time doing it. She didn't do it overnight by any stretch of the imagination. I do see people who will, as soon as they understood how we've been deceived on animal fat, they'll start eating huge amounts of animal fat right away. And some people are comfortable doing that, and it doesn't backfire on them. But for other people, it can cause for a lot of digestive distress. So that's the information I'll provide for your listeners right now. Everybody's going to have to individually decide for themselves how they want to approach this subject, but I have lots and lots of information on my website to help educate people on the animal fat issue. And I can't emphasize enough, too, that if you're going to do this, you really do need to eat these wonderful lacto-fermented foods to help essentially retrain your gut to be acidic while you're healing.
Right. And you do have services, you have seminars, you have all kinds of things going on, and there's all kinds of help at your website. And so people, listeners, go to her website, pamkilleen.com, and ask some questions and learn what you can about helping yourself. Thank you so much, Pam, for being on the program. We need to do this
again. It's been great. Thank you, Deanna.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.